and we trust that the Lord will give us a good time in the house of the Lord. We're going to start off with a good hymn, number 2, that praise my soul, the King of Heaven, that to his feet thy tribute bring. And what better task at this time of the year than to praise the Lord for all his goodness to us. Number 2, we'll stand to sing. May be seated. And just before we go to prayer, I want to leave again before you two requests that we made this morning, and that we need the prayers of God's people. First of all, for John Hinbest. John is a son of our very first elder, and you'll know that the basement part of our church is called the Hinbest Auditorium. It was named after the elder. Well, John retired from work there just back in October, and then he travelled with his wife down to the States in a van with a trailer behind it, and they were spending 6 months in the States just travelling around the places they wanted to see, especially, no doubt, places where there are trains, because John was a great lover of train travel, especially the antique ones. But when he was in Arizona, where he is now, that he took ill and had to take him to hospital, and the diagnosis is not good at all, and they discovered that he has cancer in an advanced state, and that he may have somewhere between 2 weeks and 2 months to live. And so that's kind of tough. So pray for them. The good thing is that they had insurance cover, because that would have cost a fortune down there, the hospital costs being what they are. So do remember them, that John may be able to come to grips with the news that he has, and also Chloe might be able to understand what's happening and be able to get them back home safely for whatever the Lord has for them. Then also please remember our brother Dr. Mark Allison, who is the leader of our school for training our ministers. As you know, he's been ill since August, and he has a tumour in the brain, and he was home and seem to be making good progress. Jill and Larry visited with them on Friday, but he could only speak really one word, and that was the word yes. And a couple of days before that, he couldn't remember his wife's name and his daughter's name. So she sent out a note there just last night, and I'll read it to you so that you understand the need for prayer for these people. Dear praying friends, my dad was admitted to Greenville Hospital, and we are settling in for another hospital stay. As of now, there are still no clear answers except that there is inflammation in the area surrounding where the tumours are located. That's in his brain. The team out there has started my dad on high doses of steroids and also anti-seizure medication, in addition to the chemo and blood thinner that he was already taking. Also, they're giving him high doses of several vitamins that appear to be unusually low. Tomorrow morning, we'll be meeting with the doctors from several departments, and they will hopefully be able to consult with Duke. That's in North Carolina, the hospital there where he had his surgery. Obviously, this is a holiday weekend and not the best time to come to the hospital. Also, the hospital is full of pneumonia and flu patients, so we are not able to get into the normal room. And the upshot was that they gave him a special room in the stroke area where people with flu and pneumonia can't be. As we go through this night, please pray that we would all have healing rest. Also, please pray that the Lord will prepare the way for us clearly tomorrow and work in the hearts and minds of the medical team here so that they will know how best to treat his servant. Thank you all for praying. We have been very conscious of your prayers today. Please continue to bring us before the throne of grace. Our Father still loves to hear and answer the prayer. So please remember the Allisons, reading between the lines, that it looks like a pretty serious situation indeed. And so we ask you to remember Mark and his wife Charlene and daughter Hannah. Let's just go before the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee that thou hast told us, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee. And Lord, we know that there are times in life where we find ourselves under a burden situation. But we thank thee, our Father, that thou hast also told us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so in times of need we can come to thee. And Lord, we have two times right here. Thou hast told us that we're to come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And Lord, these are two times of need. And we pray that thou would bless John and Chloe, and that thou would be with Mark and Charlene and Hannah. And we ask thee, O God, that in the darkness of the hour, that they might be conscious of he who is the light of the world. So we commend them to thee. And others, Lord, who need thy touch, we think of our brother Ron and our own congregation here, and Mrs. Fernandez and others, Lord, who are led aside. We commend them to thee, and we pray that thy good hand would be upon them. We rejoice, O God, that thou art Jehovah Rophika. I am the Lord that healeth thee. So, Father, we come to thee, and we pray that thy perfect will may be done. We ask the Lord to bless us tonight as we meet here for this meeting, to give thanks to thee for thy great goodness over this past year. We thank thee, O God, we are still the living to praise thee. And we pray, our Father, that thou will bless everyone who will take part, those who will sing, those who will play, those who will testify, and the word of God. We pray that we may have a blessed time in the house of the Lord and go from this year that has been a difficult year into a new year with expectancy, looking for the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no further sorrow. O God, we pray that we may leave the baggage of 2018 behind us and enter into a new year looking for the hand of the Lord to bless us. Be with us now, we pray, and bless us and do us good, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we have some of the people taking part, we're going to just give you the necessary announcements, and you will remember that we are first of all very glad to see you all, and anybody who's visiting for the first time, we welcome you cordially in the name of the Lord Jesus, and anybody who's watching by the webcast, we welcome you today, and we hope that you enjoy this brief visit to the house of the Lord. The announcements for the rest of the week are very simple. There are none. We have no services. We've had a break for last week and this week, and then we recommence on Sunday our regular schedule of Sunday school and Bible classes and services and so on. So please remember. The Bible class will be starting next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. It's sitting over there, and we will be starting a new series, short series, on the life of Peter. Now, Reggie gave us a bit about Peter this morning, and you'll find that there's not very much written about Peter as a person, whereas in the case of Paul, there are lots of books you can get on the life of Paul, but in the case of Peter, not so much. But we're going to look at, first of all, Peter the man, and then Peter the message. So we invite you to come to our adult Bible class, and that will be at 10 o'clock next Sunday morning. The pastor will be back, and we'll be preaching both times on the Lord's Day. So there's other announcements there. You can look at them in the bulletin. And we look forward to entering into a new year with high hopes and with the blessing of the Lord our God upon us. We're going to worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. And of course, this is the time of the year when we need to make sure that our books are right with God. You have to get your books right with the income tax people. Well, if we have to do it for men, how much more do we need to do it for God? And so this final Sunday, just remember that and give as the Lord has prospered you. And remember also our Christmas card out there, which is going for the, hopefully, to get a bus for the work in Jamaica. We have $9,000 already. $9,000, that's good. But we need some more, and we ask you to remember that and give as the Lord has prospered you. Now, while we are taking up the offering, your daughter here? She's not. Oh, yeah, well, we'll have to have a hymn then. If she was to play for us. Do a hymn, yeah. A hymn. Well, we'll have a hymn here. 478, Count Your Blessings. This is a good time of the year to count your blessings, 478. At the end of the year, look back and thank the Lord for all that He has done for us too. 478, we'll keep our seats while the offering is received. We'll stand together for the final verse, and I want to make a change in the chorus. Now count your blessings, name them one by one. Now count your blessings, name them two by two. Now count your blessings, name them by the score, that's 20, and then count your blessings, and it will surprise you, there are millions more. And that's not an overstatement, because we're going to heaven to be with the Lord for all eternity, and the blessings we'll have are innumerable. So 1, 2, 4, and by the score, and millions more. All right, we'll stand and sing the final verse. For putting 5 in there instead of 4. 4 numbers. So anyhow, now we're going to have a number of people taking part tonight in our service. And first of all, we're going to have some music from our brother Daniel Santos and then and David Japp, and they're going to play for you at this time. Thank you, boys. What a good thing it is to see young people developing the talent the Lord has given to them and using it for His glory. And it really blesses my soul to hear those. Now tonight we're going to have some testimonies. Originally I had three people asked to give testimony, and there's a reason for the three, and that was because we're a multicultural church, and so it asked one from each of the major cultural groups in the world to give a testimony. Unfortunately, one of them had to back out the last minute because of a circumstance that arose that couldn't be helped, so we only have two, but we'll get it sorted out. The first one is our brother Peter Pau. Is that the right way to say that, brother? Okay. Peter is just dying to give his testimony. Well, these people, when you ask them, you know, they look at you and they say, they sort of think, well, maybe not. But I'm glad that they have said they're going to come, and Peter's going to come and bring a word of testimony just now. Come along, Peter. And feel at home. These are all friends. They don't bite.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. I would like to start thanking my Lord for giving me this chance to testify about His love and mercy towards me in 2018. During last Christmas and New Year's holidays, we had the opportunity to visit my parents in Hong Kong. It was a family reunion. Because I have not seen my whole family for 10 years. There was a meeting at the church where my parents were currently attending, and my brothers mentioned in his testimony about how God healed my mother who battled leukemia years ago. God answered our prayer for saving my mother's life and leading her to repentance 2 years later. My brother shared with us that God answered the prayers not because he deserved it, but because God knew that his faith was weak during that time. God built up his faith by answering his prayer quickly. This realization has been struck in my mind since then. It also leads me to ask myself, how does God answer my prayers? For example, I always ask God to give me wisdom for my work. When I'm fixing the printers, with some of the issues, there's no answer or solution from the service menus. God helps me to figure out the problems. He also answers lots of the little things, my requests from day to day. God's answers to my prayers are based on God's love and His mercy, not by my merits. He's building up my faith. And also through the sermons and the Sunday school classes, I learned more about God and myself. I would like to highlight a few of them. I remember in one of the Sunday school classes, it mentions about Jesus teaching His disciples to pray. I learned the need to know how God is, how to respect Him, worship Him, praise His name, seek His will, and fear Him. And during another class, this pastor talked about nature, and one of them was about the moon. It helps me to think whether I am fully reflecting God's glory or just showing His glory partially. Also in the sermons about the miracles of the five loaves and two fishes, it talks about the kind of motive of people in seeking Christ. Do I have a similar motive when I came to God for help? Through these teachings, I realized that my faith is weak. And there are many more lessons to learn and reflect upon. May God continue to work in me. May God strengthen me, teach me to pray, give me a humble heart to seek His will and to wait patiently on Him. As God told Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for thee, For my strength is made perfect in weakness. May God help me to have the same response as Paul, who rather gloried in his infirmities and experienced the power of Christ rest upon him. Finally, I would like to thank God for leading my family and I to this church. I continue to learn God's words, which helps us to grow in Christ. And we are also greatly encouraged by the testimony of brothers and sisters. Thank you for the love shown towards us in Christ. And please continue to pray for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Yeah, that wasn't so bad, was it? Peter was a bit worried. You know, it's one thing, people look at speakers and they think that's easy, then they get up. And I remember the first time I ever gave a testimony publicly. I was outside in the open air in Northern Ireland, and I got up and I was going to really tell people things. And I said, I was saved in the Jack Schuller Crusade. Then I heard the echo coming back in the loudspeaker. I'd never used a loudspeaker before. Heard the echo coming back. What I say now, I was saved in the Jack Schuller Crusade. So I said it twice to make sure they got it. And could I think of one other thing to say? In fact, my ministry almost died before it began at that place. If it hadn't been for dear brother, who later came along and helped me, that I would not have been ministering today. So speaking publicly is not that easy. And we used to have a class down Warden Avenue on speaking. And I gave them a little challenge, and that was to write an introduction, just an introduction to John 3:16. And this woman, she came back and said, I never realized it was so hard. That was just the introduction, not the whole sermon. Anyway, Peter, we appreciate that word of testimony, and we're glad that the Lord has heard an answered prayer for you. Now we have Miss Slade. Miss Slade is going to come and sing for us. Ruth was part of a quartet we had back in the early years, and that was a great quartet. She was the female voice, and with three men. And all three have gone to their glory and are now singing in the heavenly choir above. But Ruth is with us, and she's here to sing to us tonight.
Singing hymn 556 from our hymn book, Only One Life. Take it, dear Lord, I pray. Nothing. Withholding from thee, withholding, thy will I know obey. Thou who hast freely given thine all in all for me, claim this life for thine own, and be used my
Thank you, Miss Lade, for that good message. And she is the epitome of the very things she's singing about, that this night is a night when we remember the passage of time. It's amazing. You remember Y2K? Remember that first been 2000? That's 19 years ago, and the time is passing. And I say that because it is now 30 years since Ruth became the principal of our school, and I was just saying a couple of days ago at the concert the other night that neither of us had any idea that the school was going to go to where it is today. And so we praise God for the wonderful blessings, and we praise God for Ruth's faithfulness down through the years. Now turn your eyes to the right, and we're going to have a musical item from Alan Rogerson and my wife. Alan is going to play that thing that he has there, saxophone, I think is what you call it, and May is going to accompany him in this. Thank you, folks, and may the Lord bless that to our hearts. Now, Maud, this is the big moment that you've been waiting for. Maud is a very special person because Maud and her husband were the very first people to join us in 1976. There was the original members we had, but Maud and Winston were the first to join us, and I asked Maud if she gave a word of testimony. She nearly fainted. But
thank you. Okay. Yes, there's still time. For those of you who don't know me, I know a lot of you do. I was born over in Northern Ireland. I'll not tell you what year. But I'll just tell you very briefly a little bit about my childhood. As a child, I was early taken to Sunday school, church, morning and evening, which was great. Learning the scripture, learning the catechism, memorizing portions of scripture, which is great because it does come back to you. Now, when I was a young child, I had the idea in my head that everyone went to heaven. I don't know if I obviously did not have eyes to see God's word. I didn't have ears to hear his word. And I did not realize that I had to be saved to go to heaven. I had to have the Savior in my heart. Now, did I know there was a place called hell? Don't remember knowing at that early age. I may have just shut my mind to it. I can't really say. I just don't know. But thankfully, the Lord started to work in my life when I was a young teenager. And in my early teens, it was shown to me clearly through different events that happened from God's word that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, born in sin. And that I needed to be saved to go to heaven. I needed to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And when this was first pointed out to me, many verses from the Bible that I hadn't actually, I'll use the word again, seen before, hadn't absorbed them, were pointed out to me that we need to be saved. And that word saved seemed to almost pop out of the print of the Bible at me. I didn't accept the Lord right away, but again, a number of events brought me to the Lord. And thankfully, I accepted the Lord as my Savior. Now, I'm going to jump forward to 1966. That's when Winston and I were married in June, and 2 months later, in September, we came to Canada. And we've been here ever since. It's quite a few years now. So, when we came here to Canada, when we first came, we were looking for a church. Now, over the years, we had occasionally, and I don't know if some of the members of the Bible Presbyterian Church remember or not, we occasionally visited. I believe the meetings were in the YMCA at that time. And then the Bible Presbyterian Church moved into a little church along Cosburn Avenue. We didn't know of the significance of that brief acquaintance at that time. That was to come to us years later. Now, beginning in the year 1976, we heard about a minister who we knew of coming from Northern Ireland to preach at the Bible Presbyterian Church. I think it was January of that year, but I'm not 100% sure. And we went along to hear this minister. And he gave his testimony that night. And I would tell you, if you haven't heard the testimony of this minister, that everyone should. Of course, the minister was Dr. McClellan, who started the Free Presbyterian Church here. But that faithful congregation of the Bible Presbyterian Church decided, as their minister was retiring, that they would become part of the Free Presbyterian Church. Now, I know that there's a lot behind all of that happening, but just to let you know that this is how we first came. To join the founding congregation of the Bible Presbyterian Church, which became the Free Presbyterian Church. If you know the history of those beginnings, there was opposition, quite a bit. The city actually demolished that little church that we met in on Cosburn Avenue. And we had joined the congregation at this time and moved with them to a school on Pharmacy Avenue, where in Scarborough, where the church had its meetings and prayer meetings. Now, I was privileged to be able to help to teach the children in the Sunday school from that time. And then years later, when we moved in here, to help with the Friday Night Bible Club when it started in 1994. My prayer always for them was that they would have eyes to see God's Word, ears to hear God's Word, and a heart to receive the Savior. And I speak especially to any young person that's here tonight. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save you from your sin, that someday you will be in heaven with him. Not like me when I was smaller. I just thought everybody went to heaven. Now, in 1979, we moved to Warden Avenue, and the Sunday school and congregation grew. The Whitfield Christian School began. Then this building was opened in 1994. And I point those out because most of you know already all of that. But I just want to say, as we come to the end of another year, looking back over those years, we have to give thanks to God for all of his kept promises. To me, the greatest being the giving of his only begotten Son as a sacrifice so that we could be forgiven from our sins and receive him as our Savior. We can say with the psalmist, surely goodness and mercy, that's the Lord's goodness and mercy, shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I would just like to leave two verses with you that have become very much in my heart over the last 2 or 3 years. And they're found in Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. It is the Lord's mercies that we are, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is the Lord's faithfulness to us.
Thank you, Mom, for that good testimony. And I was hoping she was going to tell you something about herself, but she didn't do it, so I'll tell you about it. For you young people, Maud was an expert hockey player. Not ice hockey, but field hockey. And she was top class. And not only that, she could play golf too, because we went out, my son and her husband and me and Maud and we played golf together, and it was only on the last hole that my son Stevie got ahead of her. She beat her own husband, she beat me, and never forgiven her for that. But Maud, I want people to know that you were a good hockey player, and we enjoyed fellowship with her down through the years. Now we're going to go to this side of the auditorium, and we're going to have Dana and her son, Samuel. And if you've been going to Horton's recently, you'll find on their little tray cover a picture of a young man who looks exactly like Samuel. In fact, I thought it was Samuel when I saw it. But they're going to play, and they're going to play a hymn called "He Will Hold Me Fast." And they're going to play two verses and a chorus, and then the third verse, we are going to join in and sing with them the third verse and the chorus. "He Will Hold Me Fast." Now we're going to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 54. Isaiah, chapter 54, and we're going to read just the first 10 verses of this chapter, Isaiah 54. A wonderful chapter of encouragement to people, and I trust you to watch it very carefully as we read. Isaiah 54 and verse 1. "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes, That verse was a great encouragement to us many years ago when we were looking at the possibility of buying the property to build this church and to build the school eventually. And the Lord, He said, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. So we followed Him, and here we are today. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and as a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. And may the Lord bless our hearts this brief reading from his own infallible and inspired word. As we've mentioned before, we have come to the last service of an old year, and 2018 has been a rather difficult year for many, many people. Another 12 months have run their course, and never to be repeated. Their joys and their sorrows are past. Their blessings and their revilings are no more. The hopes and the aspirations of 2018, the opportunities that gave, they are forever gone. And we're reminded again that time, like a rolling stream, marches speedily on. For some people, this past year has seen their hopes and aspirations amply fulfilled, and despite difficulties along the way, they could say it was a good year that the Lord gave to us. But for other people, their fears and their worries and concerns were realized, and despite blessings in the year, they think that 2018 will be remembered for its sorrows. As we stand on the threshold of another new year, we wonder, what of the future? Will it be any better? The world right now is in an absolute turmoil politically. You look at the country to the south of us, you look at our country, you look at Europe, and the world is in a mess politically. There are wars in different places, as the Lord told us. There is unrestricted violence, and it is just so sad when you think that, for example, in this city of ours, 96 murders this year already, and it used to be that if you had 50, you thought that was bad, but it's really serious, and we wonder what does the future hold. If we look into the future, we may be encouraged not to think too hopefully of it because of the way the world is going. But tonight I want to share with you a word of encouragement, and I want to leave you with an easily remembered promise that God has given, one that I have read many, many times, but never really quite noticed before. You see, the thing is, as Maud was saying, that sometimes we read with our mind shut off. I read in the middle of the night. I get up about 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock and I do my reading and praying. And in my study, I have a little clock that every hour beats out the Westminster chime. And I can sit in there and read and never even hear it going. And it's just a few feet from my ear because I'm tuned out. I'm reading something else. I'm tuned out from that. And sometimes when we read the Bible, we are tuned out. And we read so many chapters because we have to, and that's a good thing to do, to read. But sometimes we miss the blessing of the Lord. And I want to give you tonight a very easily remembered promise from the Lord. Isaiah 54 is a wonderful and a great chapter that for those who are barren, either physically or spiritually, God says, "Sing, O barren." He gives us cause to sing and to praise. But to those who are lonely, he says, "For that thy maker is thine husband." So we always have him with us at all times. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And then, that for those who sometimes think that maybe God has forgotten to be gracious to them and has forgotten them, he says there in that verse 7, "For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee." So the Lord doesn't leave his people very long before he comes and reveals himself to them. And then for those who are in the seemingly disastrous circumstances, it says, "For the mountains shall depart and the hills are removed." And then this statement, "My kindness shall not depart from you." And that's the line, if you remember nothing else of tonight, remember that line, God speaking, "My kindness shall not depart from thee." Now there is an inference here, and the inference is of course that the Lord has been kind to us in the past, because he says, "The kindness shall not depart." So we have the kindness of the Lord already. And that's why we sung that hymn, "Count Your Blessings," because it's a good thing to sit down and to actually count them, literally to think of the things that God has done. Remember those things. And I sometimes say, "Lord, that was a good day, the day that this so-and-so happened. And that was a good day." And thank the Lord for his mercies, which are ever sure. And it's appropriate at the end of the year to take time and just to thank the Lord. Now, he willed us to be born. He didn't have to, but he did. And you and I are here today because God in his will had the will that we should be born. He gave to us parents. He gave to us a home. And he supplied abundantly all the necessary things of life for this year that's gone into eternity, and also for all the years. I just stop and think, Lord, nearly 83 years of blessings thou hast bestowed upon me. And the rest of you can count up your age too and remember the good things that the Lord has done. So it's good to pause and to thank the Lord particularly and specifically for the blessings that he has given. We're very quick to come and complain when things are not going well. But we need to remember the things and count our blessings. And it will surprise you, there are millions more. Now we pause to thank him for his kindness. That's what this verse is talking about. "My kindness shall not depart from thee." We're living in troublous times in this world. Troublous times in the moral sense. Troublous times in the political sense. In the national sense. And in the financial world, look what happened in the market in this past week or so. And people will be getting to this age of jumping off the top of buildings now when they see their money disappearing. So we're in difficult times, and also personal times of difficulty and trouble. And as I said before, there death in every hand, 96 murders here in this city already. And the Bible says, "Thou shalt not kill." And of course, part of the problem is that many of the churches have ditched the Ten Commandments. And if our young people and older people are taught, "Thou shalt not kill," and to realize that there is a judgment from Almighty God, you may escape the judgment of the country, but you will not escape the judgment of Almighty God. If people listen to that, perhaps the world, certainly the world, would be a lot better. But tonight, you and I, we are here We are living monuments of the blessing and the goodness and the kindness and the mercy of God. And then also we shall thank the Lord today for His grace, because we are drawn by the Spirit of the Lord to worship God. And there are millions and millions of people who have no such desire as we have. But God has us here, here to sing His praise and to glorify His name. And we are the living to praise Him. We shall thank Him also for His long suffering. He bears long with our mistakes and our errors and our weaknesses, and yet the Lord still loves us, and the Lord is still kind to us and will be kind to us until the day dawns and the shadows of earth flee away. We should thank Him that He has been so kind and long-suffering towards us. Can I ask you tonight, my friend, are you a believer in the Lord Jesus? Are you somebody like Maud who thought that everybody went to heaven? You have to realize there's two classes of people in the world, just two, the saved and the lost. And we have had testimony of those who are saved by the grace of God. We need to ask, and you need to ask yourself, that are you saved or are you still unsaved? Because there is a limit to the mercy of the Lord. Because it tells you there in the book of Genesis, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And if you're not a believer, God has been merciful to you. He has been kind to you. He's given you opportunity after opportunity to come to Christ, and still you haven't. My friend, now is the time to come to Him. And if you want to have a happy new year, the best thing you can do is to commit your life to the Lord Jesus and ask Him to save your soul. But then we just ask a little bit about the future, that He says here in this verse, my kindness shall not depart from thee. So no matter what the future holds, the kindness of the Lord is open to us and it is there. And it says the word depart appears twice. It appears there in the beginning of verse 10, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, and then my kindness shall not depart. Now you go out to the Rocky Mountains and you look at, for example, at Banff there, and you look at the immensity of those mountains and you think of what it would be to move them. You couldn't move them because they are so great and so big and strong. And yet the Bible tells us that they will be moved in due time. The rocks will be falling on people who have rejected the Lord. The Lord speaks here of the departing of the mountains, and they look unmovable, but they will move. But God says with regard to His kindness, my kindness shall not depart from you. And so what a tremendous encouragement that is, just to lay hold upon that promise. And remember, as it says in Deuteronomy, that the eye of the Lord is upon His people from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So there's not one second of any day in this year or in the next year, but the eye of God is on us, and He sees us, and He looks after us, and He shows His kindness to us. The things that can depart. Money can depart, as many of those who invest in the stock market discovered in this past week. Money can disappear. Homes can disappear, like those people in California who sadly were burned out during the forest fires. Friends can disappear. People who were once your friend are no longer your friend. In fact, anything on earth can disappear. But what a blessing. God says, my kindness shall not depart. It will not disappear. It will not go away. And the thing to remember is in verse 8, it says, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness. So His kindness is not just temporary. It is everlasting. With everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee. And He also in chapter 55, the next chapter, and verse 3, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. So the Lord makes a covenant with his people. He loves them, and he is kind to them, and will be kind to them until the day dawn when we are taken from this scene of time, and then forevermore we'll dwell in the kindness of the Lord our God. Recently, well, a few months ago, at the prayer meeting, I left a verse with the people, Jeremiah 31 and 3, where it says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Now that's an amazing thing, that God in heaven, and you look at how great and how majestic and how mighty and how infinite God is. God in heaven said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And his kindness, we're told here, is everlasting. Also my kindness shall not depart from thee. So with these two promises, as we enter into 2019, why should we ever be afraid? Why should we fear? Can we not enter with confidence, knowing that God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and my kindness shall not depart from you. Duncan will know that there's a famous poet called Robbie Burns, who is Scottish, and Robbie Burns wrote a song back in 1700 and something, and it's called Auld Lang Syne. And a lot of people will sing that at this time of year. In fact, tomorrow night they'll be singing it tomorrow night. And for those of you who don't know what Auld Lang Syne means, old, A-U-L-D, means old. And Lang, L-A-N-G, is long. And Syne, S-Y-N-E, is since. So literally it means old, long, since. It's talking about the past. And he says, when old acquaintance be forgotten, and so on, the song, Auld Lang Syne. But one of the lines says, we'll take a cup of kindness, and that's what we're talking about. We'll take a cup of kindness yet for Auld Lang Syne. The Lord gives us not a cup, but he gives us a vast, eternal amount of kindness. He's with us each step of the way. Let us, as we enter the new year, give a cup of Christian kindness to those that we meet, and pray that the Lord will make us to be those who will have a good impact in the people we meet, because they'll recognize that we are in touch with thee and know the Lord our God. So let us give a cup of kindness to those we come in contact with in the new year. And one thing I always think about at this time of the year is that we're going into a new year. Let us make sure we leave the baggage of 2018 behind us and not drag it into the new year. Leave it behind us and pressing towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Go forward and serve him to the best of our ability. So if you remember nothing else, remember God says, my kindness shall not depart from thee. Now we're going to close our service tonight by singing the Lord's Prayer. And we don't often do this, but it's very nice when it's done. And we're going to ask you to stand as we sing the Lord's Prayer. Remember, we will not be singing Trespasses, because Trespasses doesn't fit the tune. So we'll be singing Forgive Us Our Debts, and As We Forgive Our Debtors. Let's join together and prayerfully and joyfully sing this great tribute to the Lord's teaching of his people. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for bringing us safely to the end of this year. We thank Thee, Lord, for every good and perfect gift that cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness. And Lord, we know that we're not worthy of any of the mercies of God, but Thou hast blessed us abundantly. Thou hast opened Thy hand and poured them out upon us. O God, fill our hearts, we pray, with thanksgiving unto God. Be with us now as we leave. Take us safely home to our homes. And Father, as we enter into the new year, O God, may we enter into it with confidence, realizing that Thou hast said, I have loved Thee with an everlasting love, and My kindness shall not depart from Thee. And so with confidence we look to the future, and we praise Thee for that which is yet to be. Be with us now, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.